was in another lifetime.
Like I said earlier, I didn't really think we'd be talking penguins today. But man, it seemed too quiet. It seemed a little too quiet around town after a complete failure of a season. They were worse than last year, despite the fact that their poor handcuffed GM was given all the resources in the world to try to make them better.
Anyway. I just got done reading your column in the Post-Gazette. I just had to laugh, right?
I mean,
you're talking about handcuffed Dubas.
Handcuffed Dubas, yeah. Who, let's see now, spent 27 on a goalie.
And another 1.5 on the other goalie.
And another 1.5 on the other goalie. He made the biggest move in the whole NHL, acquiring Erik Karlsson and the $40 million he'd be owed the rest of his contract. Top four on defense, he threw $27 million more at Ryan Graves. Top six winger, traded for Riley Smith and the $10 million left on his contract. Bottom six forwards, he went out and signed 7 years' worth of contracts for about $13 million to Achari Eller Nieto. If he's handcuffed, I'd hate to see him with some freedom going out there and trying to make the Penguins better. And between Sully's season-ending news conference and how proud he was of everybody for not quitting, even though they did quit around the Gensel trade, and then suddenly didn't quit, although it was disguised as the rest of the league sucking, and nobody really seems upset about the Penguins. But now we learn that some tensions are forming. Frank Saravalli reporting that Dubas may want this coaching staff out, the guys under Sully I'm talking about, and Sully may be chafing at that. So good. There needs to be some tension. There needs to be some outrage, quite frankly, because this isn't getting it done. To talk about that, we have, did you want to say something?
Well,
Paul?
What I was going to say is, isn't Cal Dubas the boss?
He has bosses too, though. And they love Sully.
But that's okay. But if Cal Dubas says these are the guys you need to fire, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You fire them.
Right. Unless Sully makes a call and says to his Fenway Sports Group buddies, this guy wants me to make changes. I don't want to make them. Then we have, but there's also rumors of maybe other teams,
right,
Namely the New Jersey Devils, being very interested in Sully. Anyway, here to talk about all of that, our friend and yours, Dr. Bombay, Jonathan Bomboli. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jonathan, what is going to happen with Mike Sullivan and his staff here, and what should happen?
I think it's sort of it's a tale as old as time, right? Where the head coach defends his guys, and, you know, from whatever outside forces, from management or from the GM, who says, hey, I want you to change your guys. So I think it's you call it a power struggle and you call it tension, but it's not unusual. I mean, I think this sort of thing happens a lot. The buck stops with Mike Sullivan. Like the part of the game we're talking about when you talk about changing assistant coaches is usually a power play, right? I mean, that's what we're getting at. And it's nominally, it's Todd Reirden's responsibility. But from my experience covering that team, I mean, yeah, the hands-on day-to-day is Todd Reirden's responsibility. But the big overarching concepts, that's Mike Sullivan. I mean, it's his power play. It's his system. So I do sort of understand where he would be coming from in that sense, saying like, hey, you know, this isn't, you're scapegoating these guys, you know, the buck stops with me, if that's in fact the way he's putting it. Now, that said, I think a new voice regarding power play concepts would be really beneficial for this team. Cause I mean, like, you know, Rick Tocchet provided that voice. I think Sergei Gonchar to a degree provided that voice. And this team needs new ideas as far as the power play goes. So does that mean you have to clear out your current guys and bring in new guys? Or could you just add somebody? Or, you know, I'm not sure the mechanics of all that. But I think a new voice advising Sully would be beneficial. But I think ultimately it's Sullivan's, you know, the buck stops with Sullivan. That's the bottom line.
And that's the question I think that a lot of people ask. And what is the What is what I would call the case that you can make to continue on with Mike Sullivan, you know, given the way that the NHL operates a lot of times with these coaches? I mean, it's hard for me to come up with a case given the talent that the Penguins have and how long it's been since they've won a playoff series. I don't know. Make the case. How about that? Make the case to bring back Mike Sullivan for one more year.
To me, the biggest case is, you know, just having been around him and having been around a lot of coaches, he's a really good hockey coach. Like the way he deals with players, and that's a big part of this, because the players that he's dealing with in this case are guys that have been in the league for almost two decades and are Hall of Famers. So that's not an easy coaching gig. And if you, when you bring in a new coach, they're going to all have to, you know, they're going to have to be broken in by these star players in terms of, you know, how they coach the team. It hasn't always worked. I mean, you've seen that over the years. So some coaches have more success than others than working with these guys. So the big picture, the defense of Mike Sullivan is quality one. I mean, but the results aren't there. So that's not, you know, they're obviously not there for the last 5-6 years. So that's not a really strong argument. But the other argument is a continuity with your veteran star players who respond to his respond might be the wrong word, who respect his style of coaching. And, you know, I mean, two summers ago when they made the decision to re-sign Malkin and Letang, they made a decision to sort of stick with the core. And the guy who coaches the core is Sullivan. So he's part of that. So basically, the case for Sullivan is continuity and the fact that he's a good quality coach. And if you said to me, I think there's a better chance Mike Sullivan works his way out of this than a new coach has success coming in, you could make that argument. Just because he's a quality coach who's, you know, done this before, had success with this group before. So, I mean, look, the arguments against Mike Sullivan are much easier to make, and they're much more less tortured logic. I mean, the arguments are, A, the results aren't there. B, this is the NHL. Nobody coaches this long. There, you make those two statements, and he's gone. So
all right.
I do understand that sentiment, but I just think he's too good a coach. You know, Dubas said, the minute you get rid of Mike Sullivan, you're looking for the next Mike Sullivan. And I think that's absolutely what would happen.
It is accurate, because this isn't the same Mike Sullivan. I would argue you're looking for the Mike Sullivan that walked in here spitting fire all those years ago, put the stars in their place, and was able to instill in this team a sense of discipline, an ability to protect leads, and all of that. Yeah, I'm looking for that Mike Sullivan, not this one. Not the guy who stood up on a podium 2 weeks ago and said, this is a team of great character. I'm so darn proud of these guys. They actually tried hard. What? What are we talking about here, Jonathan? He should have stood up here and said, this is intolerable. It's unacceptable. We got worse this season, even though we brought in Erik Karlsson, even though we were mostly healthy. And the things that were broken last year, the power play, 3-on-3 overtime, protecting leads, all got worse. And you could put that on me. That's not what we heard. We heard him put a nice little bow on a happy little season where we tried hard, and wait till next year. We're going to be even better. That's not the Mike Sullivan I know.
Well, I mean, I sort of understand it in the sense that obviously what you're saying is facts, but the last 15-game stretch of the season was the best 15-game stretch of the season. So, I mean, I don't know, if you're having your season-ending press conference, you do want to acknowledge that fact, right?
Sure, you can acknowledge that. And excuse me, I just had a bite of a candy bar. But if you're acknowledging that, you better also acknowledge that your team essentially quit and was very unprofessional around the Jake Guentzel trade, to the point where Chris Letang told the world the night they lost 6-0 to the Capitals, we didn't show up tonight. And then the games after that, they weren't themselves at all, which Lars Eller acknowledged. So, yeah, acknowledge both of those for sure. And also, while you're at it, acknowledge that the only reason that we even challenged for a playoff spot was that all the teams around us completely imploded. Every one of them at one point went weeks without winning a game. And on top of that, for what it's worth, Jonathan, that to me was the Pirates in September. I mean, it's silly season at that point. You know, you're playing teams like Carolina. What do they have invested in a game against the Penguins in, you know, late March, really? So all of that. But yeah, you're right. Of course, you should acknowledge that.
Well,
you look great, by the way, Jonathan. I haven't seen you in a while. I didn't know you were going to be on video here.
Yes.
This is unbelievable.
It's the last minute thing.
No, John. Yeah, Jonathan, you've covered hockey for a lot of years. You've covered the Penguins. How do you see this playing out? This little quote. What are we calling this? This rift.
Power struggle.
Do you see it playing out? I don't know if you remember when Tom Donahoe and Bill Cowher had their power struggle and Cowher won it. Do you see it getting to that level? Or I mean, how do you see this, knowing what you know about the Penguins, the organization, and the NHL in general?
I think the compromise position is to add a voice. Like if Sullivan is adamant about keeping his guys, it's to add a voice. I mean, I don't think you need to clean house necessarily. You just need some new ideas. To me, that's the compromise position. So, I mean, I think, you know, that's a likely scenario. It's a good question. Like it's hard to get a feel for if their backs are to the wall, push comes to shove, that there's no compromise to be had. Dubas says, I want these assistant coaches gone. Sullivan says, I want these assistant coaches to stay. And they put their cases to Fenway, and Fenway has to pick a guy. You know, that hasn't happened yet, and it's interesting. We don't really know what they would do. I mean, the implications are that Sullivan is a favorite of Fenway. But I don't know that we have any evidence that's exactly how Fenway would operate. It's just sort of a general vague feeling. I think if it came right down to it, I think Fenway would back Dubas. I think the assistants would be gone. Mm. But like I said, I think a compromise solution is definitely a possibility.
How would it look, just in theory, because we've heard talk of the Devils, and you know, sometimes power struggles like this, like Paul just mentioned, do result in one party saying goodbye. And oftentimes it's the coach, especially since Dubas just got here. What would it even look like if he went to the Devils? By what mechanism? He would have to resign, or would there be some sort of, I don't think they can trade coaches in the NHL, can they? How would that even look?
I don't remember a coach being traded in the NHL, but coaches get traded in sports regularly because he is under contract. I think it would have to be the kind of thing where they'd negotiate a departure. You know what I mean? Negotiate a divorce.
Yeah.
From both ends. So there'd probably be money exchanged and they, you know.
Irreconcilable differences.
Yeah.
Who gets to keep Valtteri Puustinen? Sullivan or Dubas? If the kids are involved.
You know, you're joking around, but like to me, when you talk about like Dubas adding veteran guys and spending a lot of money in free agency in his first offseason, free agency isn't how this team gets fixed. And I think Dubas came to that realization, you know, at some point during this season. It's with guys like Puustinen. Like, you got to get younger and you got to get faster because speed, improving your team speed, would be a critical thing. And you know, it doesn't, there are no top prospects coming in. There's no Paul Skeens knocking at the door, right? But there are young guys who can skate. And I think to me that is so much more beneficial. They just bring that's to me the lesson of those last 15 games. Yeah, maybe it is Pirates in September, but the one lesson you can learn is, you got to have some element of youth in your lineup in the NHL, especially this lineup, because the top end of it is so old. So that would be one of the big things I would do, you know, in a team building sense, is not spend more money in free agency. I mean, that is not going to work. Maybe you can trade for some younger guys, or you can just play your own younger guys. You know, give me this Koivunen kid that came over in the Gensel trade. Give me Jack St. Ivany on my third D pair. I want my bottom six filled with 22-year-olds. I don't want them filled with, you know, the Nolacharis of the world.
And I think that would help. I mean, I think that's a way you can tangibly give a jolt to this team, you know, in a realistic way.
Yeah, it sounds like you're just advocating a little bit more retooling than necessarily tearing it down and rebuilding, right? I mean, you're just basically saying you bring some younger guys in, maybe get rid of some of the dead weight in the bottom six and whatever, and add some young, fresh energy, and then you could probably achieve what they want to achieve. Is that a fair characterization of what you're saying?
Absolutely, because to me, a rebuild, if you say this team should rebuild, that means trading Sidney Crosby. Anything short of that is retooling. So, and I don't think you should ever trade Sidney Crosby. So the answer is, you do what you do since what the Penguins have done since 2005, which is you got your core guys and you put a different cast of characters around them. And sometimes that cast of characters is Carl Hagelin, Phil Kessel, and Nick Bonino, and you hit a grand slam and you win a Stanley Cup. And sometimes it's, you know, a bunch of guys and you don't. And I think you do that again.
Jonathan Bomboli on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Jonathan writes for the Trib, and I've always found him to be among the more astute hockey observers that I know ever since we met in Wilkes-Barre all those years ago. So let me ask you about Erik Karlsson. Jason Mackey, and he had this on his Mackey planner that he was going to write about Kyle Dubas. So he fulfilled the Mackey planner, and step one was Erik Karlsson and the idea of approaching Karlsson about maybe going somewhere, like back to Ottawa. Mackey said Karlsson's wife, Melinda, went to high school and college there. I used to work there. Former teammate Daniel Alfredson was the best man in Karlsson's wedding. He's an assistant coach with the Senators. And he says, would Karlsson really turn down the idea of going back there? My question for you is, would you even approach, would you at least approach Karlsson with the idea of moving on? And how about Malkin and or Letang? Obviously not Sid. But are any of those guys even approachable or movable?
Karlsson is, I think, is a discussion you can have. I feel like they committed to Letang and Malkin when they signed him to those contract extensions. And I mean, I know it's a business and everything like that, but I think it would be some pretty dirty pull to be like, yeah, we want to trade you now. So, you know, that commitment was made. The decision to make on, you wanted to move on from those guys, you had a chance. It was when their contracts were up. Mm. And now you're in. Now, Karlsson, different story, hasn't been here for 17 years, you know. And if the idea is to get younger and faster, and you can actually get something for Erik Karlsson from Ottawa, because they did, I mean, you know, that's a team that's been building a pool of prospects, and they do have young, fast guys. If it would make your team better, then do it. But I don't think dumping Erik Karlsson is necessary, you know, just to get his salary off the books. I don't think, because then what?
You know, for sure. Well, then you could use some of that 40, 30 million or whatever still owed to him to do precisely what you're talking about. But maybe more to the point, I can actually get you a 2-for-1 deal on Mackey planners if you're interested, Jonathan.
Have you ever used a planner, Joe? Like, have you ever kept one?
No, I keep all my notes on the backs of envelopes.
That's right. You do it. You use game notes. You like scribble things on game notes. I've seen that for years.
Yes, I do. Yeah. But go ahead. You'd use that money, in my opinion, then to do exactly what you're talking about. Spend it on younger players. Plus, maybe you get one or two back in a deal. But this just didn't work. Karlsson was brought in to fix the power play. He's really not a power play guy in the end. And the power play got worse.
Yeah, there's contradictions with this power play. Here's what I don't understand. When you talk about skilled NHL players, like, here's the joke, right? Like, every time Mario, you see him, or Jágr is a better example, 50-some years old playing in Kladno, and you see a highlight, and everybody says, man, he could still play on the half wall on the power play, even though he's 50-whatever years old. The idea is that guys that are older and skilled should still be having success on the power play.
Yes.
And they should be struggling at even strength. And with the Penguins, that's the opposite. Like, their even strength play for most of the year was pretty good. I mean, they created more chances than they gave up, which is, you know, half the battle. But the power play was, you know, horrendous. And I don't get it. Like, I don't understand. That's not how it's supposed to go. When you have old guys who are big-time gifted offensive creative players, the one spot where they should be just as good as they ever were is the power play. So my only sort of solution to that, like I've said, is you just got to try something that you haven't tried. I mean, you can't just, you know, you move Malkin to the second unit, you shuffle some things around. Power play was better after Michael Bunting came into that bumper spot. And he does make a difference because he's got a sort of a like a Hornquistian effect on that power play where somebody actually goes to the net. So, you know, maybe you try to double down on that theory. But I just don't understand. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
this guy should
be crazy
on the power play. I don't get it.
Well, the next big discussion I think this summer is going to be Sidney Crosby and an extension. Obviously, he's going to get it, and they're going to sign him to it. Is this one of those things where it's probably going to be the last contract that he signs? You know, is it going to be like 4 years or 5 years, and they're just going to say, "Listen, we're committed to, you know, having you here till the end."
Committed to having him there to the end. Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. There's no evidence that either party, you know, has any interest in moving on. But that it is interesting to. I think it's interesting, like, is Crosby deciding right now exactly how long his career is going to be? Like, is he going to sign a 3-year deal and then he's only playing 3 more years? You know, that I don't know. Because I've always found that interesting about Crosby. Like, you know, I mean, he's a such a hockey lifer kind of guy, right? Like, where it dominates his life. It has dominated his life since he was a little kid. I've always wondered if he was going to be one of these guys, you know, who plays into his 40s, because he can be effective into his 40s. I don't have a whole lot of question about that. Or was he going to be a guy that just kind of hit a point and said, I can't do what I once did and I'm good. And it's interesting. That decision might be being made like right now. You know, if he says, I want 4 years and 4 years is the end of it. I think that could absolutely happen. So you're really mapping out the rest of his career probably, you know, next month. It's interesting.
Paul, may I engage Jonathan in a game of free association?
Absolutely.
Jonathan, you know how this works. I'm going to ask you short questions, and you can even give me one-word answers, two or three tops answers, okay? Because we have a lot to get to, and there's only 1 minute left in the period. Ready?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Erik Karlsson will be a Penguin next season.
Yeah, I think so.
Kyle Dubas' favorite Sheldon Keefe will be the Penguins' next coach at some point.
I think less highly of that idea than some do.
Keefe will be fired if the Leafs lose the series to Boston.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. They got to do something.
Sullivan will be the Penguins coach next season.
Yeah, I think so.
His coaching staff will be intact.
His coaching staff will be different.
Todd Reardon will be back.
I mean, that's who he's going to bat for, so I guess yes.
Jake Guentzel will return as a free agent, even though Adam Crowley says that Guentzel sold his house.
I will not return.
You would trade Tristan Jarry, yes or no?
I would, but I'm an AHL guy at heart. I would try the kid.
You'd trade Riley Smith?
Oh, definitely. He didn't fit at all.
Geno will be better next season than he was this season, or will he be worse?
He'll be inconsistent like he was this season.
You would keep Nedeljkovic. Try to, anyway.
If I'm trading Jarry, I would try to keep Nedeljkovic.
You think Joel Blomqvist, despite a rotten playoff, will be the Penguins' next number one goalie?
Oh, totally, yeah.
Next season?
The game he lost... No, number one goalie. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. It will be an NHL goalie. Yeah, I believe in him. That game they lost to be ousted in the playoffs, so the officiating was just horrendous. I don't blame him. I don't blame the kid for that at all.
congratulations on being the only person in Pittsburgh who watched that game, although there are probably some others, and noting the officiating. Do you think that Blomqvist is capable of being this team's goalie next season?
I think he could, like, sort of grow into that role, yes.
You would try for a big fish like Steven Stamkos?
No, definitely not.
The Penguins will make the playoffs next season.
I mean, it's hard to answer before you see what they did to the team, but, you know, as it's constructed now, no, I don't have any reason to believe that.
And who's going to win the cup this season?
I like Edmonton.
Mm. Jonathan, you're a wonderful man. Let's make this a regular thing.
Yeah, man, anytime. If you can stand looking at my face on this contraption, I don't mind talking to you.
I don't know how Ron felt about, you know, people from the Trib, that type of thing. And I was quite frankly afraid of him at times. And that's why, you know, whenever it was very conspicuous that whenever Ron was out, you would be on the show with me. Did you notice that little thing?
I did notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I was ever on with you and Ron.
Did you ever have a conversation with Ron in all your years together?
Yeah, totally. And it was always cordial to the point of friendly.
Wow. Maybe it was my fault then. Maybe I should have said to Ron, let's have Bomboli on.
Maybe, but I think we shared dislike of the same individuals, and that tends to bring people together. You know what I'm saying?
Enemies of enemies are friends. Thank you, Jonathan. You're a wonderful man.
Yeah, good to talk to you guys.
All right, we'll see you, buddy.
I think we found a regular hockey guest there.
He's pretty good.
Love
that
guy.
He obviously knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
He does.
You know what I mean, though, about Ron. I just got the vibe that he viewed the Trib as a rival newspaper, and I wouldn't even try to broach the topic, right?
Nope. He didn't want anything to do with it.
What did you make of what Dr. Bombay said
there? Of course,
there?
What's funny is there were people that were at the Post-Gazette that he didn't want on the air either.
That's exactly right. It was tough to do this show, as the great Josh Miller once said. Where is he, by the way? Whatever happened to Josh?
He's in Florida.
Yeah, he moved to Florida from last I checked.
I know that. Oh, forget it. He said he would try to trade Jari. Let's talk about this next. Let's go back and listen to that free association, which was very well done, if I may say so myself.